Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Jets.
Now, before we do anything tonight here on the show, welcome in a new week.
Jets.
I'd like to begin by saying, I hate to say I told you so.
Feel sick.
And that's directed at you, Smith. You buried your team. You left them for dead. My Cowboys are going to run wild.
I never said my Cowboys.
No, you did. Because no, they've been your Cowboys since week one.
Did not
and then
say my
I
Cowboys.
Said, no, they can win this game, and they're certainly hanging around and causing problems. And what happened? Frantic comeback mode by Dak Prescott.
Yeah, okay.
Not enough.
Yeah, okay.
And now you're going to try to chump at that? No, you
sure
buried him. You abandoned him.
Oh,
you quit on your team. You're freaking Fireman Ed.
Wow.
You're done.
Wow. What happened this weekend to you?
Nothing.
What happened?
I'm in a great mood.
What happened, buddy? No, you're not.
I just wanted to say I was right. You were wrong.
Okay.
And now you're trying to trumpet it like they're your Jets again. When you quit on them.
No, that's kind of how it works.
You quit on them at the end of the weekend.
I'm unpredictable. That's
kind
of how it works.
We got a whole 4 hours where you buried him.
No.
You stood there with a shovel.
No,
what, I never dug a hole before?
I think
that's really kind of where you went.
I'm all out of line. I think I said I'd be the happiest guy in the world if the Jets win, but I don't see it happening.
You are fake.
The Jets won, so I'm happy. That's it. End of story. That's it. That's what it was. The Jets won, and Sam is back, and now I can see the Jets going to the playoffs.
Oh,
everything is good.
Wait a minute.
Everything is awesome.
Just
he's
like
trash.
That.
Everything is
just
awesome.
Just like that, they
Look,
become a playoff team. Come
here's
on
how.
Now.
You ready? Here's how the Jets become a playoff team. All right. Here's how the Jets become
he's
a playoff
Jason
team.
He's Jason Smith. I'm Mike Harmon. Right. Welcome into the show.
Happy Monday, but it is a happy Monday. So they probably lose to New England.
Probably
next week, right?
Monday could be painful.
It's a home game, but we lose to New England.
Yeah.
So we go to 1-5. All right, so 1-5. But Sam is back, right? Sam is back. But Sam is back.
He's trash.
We beat the Jaguars. We beat the Dolphins. We beat the Giants. We beat the Redskins. We beat the Raiders. We beat the Bengals. We beat the Dolphins again. All those teams stink. That is 7 wins in a row, right? That gets us to 8-5, and suddenly things are looking pretty good. Then we're at the Ravens. We
this
beat
is
them.
My nightmare.
But let's just say we don't. Say we go to 8-6. We'll beat the Steelers the next week. We'll go to 9-6.
Devlin Hodges, by then,
he'll
be a seasoned veteran.
And then it comes down to the last week at the Bills for a playoff spot.
Did you not watch Hodges last night?
Craig Hodges was very good last night.
He can shoot the three like nobody.
He was really good. Bill Hodges from Mr. Mercedes was very good last night. Ken Hodge from the Flyers of the 70s was very good last night. Merrill Hodge from the 90s Steelers was really good last night. Gil Hodges, former Mets manager.
Gil Hodges, that's good.
Ron Hodges, former Mets catcher, was very good last night.
That's
doesn't matter. There's how the Jets can get to 10-6. I mean, it's pretty easy. I mean, I broad brushed 7 wins in a row, but they could do it. It's like, if this team runs the table, because running the table is very easy.
In the end, you're saying there's a chance.
That's how they get there. That's how they get there. The Jets get there. The Jets win. Sam is back, and now all is good. If we had just beaten
the Bills,
of
positivity.
We had just beaten the Bills.
Yeah, but the Bills are actually good.
No, but there is a big thing. I mean, we're going to get to an update from Green Bay and Detroit coming up in a couple of seconds. But look, I realize I'm a lunatic now. I know, but it just goes to show you, and we say it all the time, what a quarterback can do. When you have a quarterback, it covers everything else up. The Jets have one of the worst rosters in the National Football League. I don't think that's even a debate. Sam Darnold comes back, throws for 340, beat the Cowboys, who had the best offense in the NFL. The defense does enough to hold them down, and suddenly it's, boy, we're an NFL team again. When you have a quarterback, anything is possible. When you don't have a quarterback, it is really hard because you have to fire on all cylinders to make everything else work. I would rather have a quarterback and have a bunch of crazy guys who stink than have a bunch of guys who are good and no quarterback, because a quarterback makes everything else better. He covers up the mistakes. And I've watched the Jets with no quarterback for the past 7 years not play well. Now we have a sucky roster and we have one really really good player. Well, two if you count Le'Veon Bell. And look where we're at. They beat the Cowboys yesterday. Darnold's been out for a month. So, hey, look, 340 yards. Longest play from scrimmage in the NFL. This is what happens when you have a quarterback.
You see my tweet before the game, though. I can't wait to sit and watch this Jets defense. I then wrote, well, I can't believe I just typed this. Mm-hmm. But you saw what they were able to do to Dak Prescott and that precious, explosive, not so much, Dallas offense for much of the game.
Until they competed, had to commit a penalty every other play in the fourth quarter.
That was the most curious possession of all time. Well, that's a question for Mike Pereira later. Yeah. At some point, do you just stop throwing laundry?
They're done. That's done. Let's just let the guys play. But one thing that we're going to look back, because it's going to happen, because when Jerry Jones said this following the Cowboys' loss yesterday, you knew their head coach was on borrowed time.
Is Jason Garrett, are you disappointed in what he's done so far on his three games?
Well,
I'm
going to be very trite. I was a lot happier with what he had done the first three games than what's happened the last three games. But the big thing I want to say, it's not just him.
All right, so
it's
not just him. It's other guys too. But when I say it's not just him, that means it's a big part him. And I said I was happy what he was doing the first three games, then the last three games. He's been the head coach for a long time now. And this is the moment that when it happens at the end of the year and Jason Garrett gets fired and Lincoln Riley comes in on a big ass white horse going, I'm going to save this team. You're going to look back at the Jets game and go, that was the game that got Jason Garrett fired. That was where things went from, hey, we're going through a rough patch here, to, wow, we couldn't beat a team that was the worst offense in the NFL. Their quarterback comes back from mono. We can't stop him. We can't get over on a defense who can't cover anybody. Anybody has playing backup linebackers. We can't do this. This is the game when it looked back. What game got Jason Garrett fired? Oh, you can look at a cumulative effect, but it's going to be this one. Because you know Jerry Jones is not going to hold the players accountable, not his stars. I mean, he talks a lot of Dak and Zeke and Amari and all blah, blah, blah. Hey, his players are not going to be held accountable because they're his guys. So then it's, well, Jerry, it's your fault because you love these players. Jason Garrett's going to be the guy finally to fall on the sword. And it's going to happen if the Cowboys continue to struggle. Now, the good news is the NFC is wide open. And outside of the Patriots, the AFC is wide open. So things are still can be okay. And I'm not cutting bait on Dallas. Look, it's early. It's six games. They're 3-3. They've already turned the page to Philadelphia this week. But when you look back, if it's another 9-7 type season and the Cowboys aren't taking advantage of their talent, Jason Garrett's going to go, and you're going to say that's the game that did it, because that's the game that public opinion went from, we need the guys to play better. We need to, okay, this is Jason Garrett's fault, because now Jerry Jones is saying it out loud. It's not just him. I would say if you had a big pie, I would say not like pie, like apple and raspberry. Razzleberry's pretty good. You get close to Halloween.
It is National Dessert Day.
There's pumpkin pie, and there's all kinds of, like, chocolate pie. There's cream pie. Go to that cheesecake factory across the country. You get all the different cheesecakes, which is kind of like pie. And then there's Pie Day, which is about the number pie, which I think is 2.75, which is pie.
And then three hours away from warm apple pie.
Right, and then we're always 3 hours away from warm apple pie. And that's a good thing from Frostburg. But what were we talking about, pie? This is the game. This is that game when it's go, okay, because there always is that one tipping point, and this is the tipping point right now. Like Jason Garrett's walking around going, if we have another 500 type season, I'm done. And he's been there a long time. It's not like he's only getting a couple of years, and boy, you're cutting back. He's been there a long time. Jerry Jones has kept him around a long time. Why? Because he does what Jerry Jones wants and Stephen Jones want him to do. It's kind of like the money ball analytics aspect of Major League Baseball. Well, we want the manager to put the players on the field we want to put on. We want to talk to him about the everyday lineup. We want to walk into his office 20 minutes before a game and kick my feet up and say, hey, what do you think about playing this guy left field tonight? I mean, this is what the Cowboys have been doing. This is why Jason Garrett's kept his job. But eventually, you get tired of it, and this is that point. Everything is together. This is the most talented roster, top to bottom, in the National Football League. They have everything they need, and they are sitting at 3-3. And they lost to the Jets on national television, a team that was the biggest embarrassment in the league. That's going to be the tipping point.
Yeah, I think when you look at it, I mean, this sort of Damocles has been kind of working its way down, and
I tried to sign Damocles about 4 years ago, but got the offer sheet and he wanted to go to the Texans. So,
yeah, eventually it swings low enough and, well, you know what happens then. Yesterday was the convergence of a lot of things, right? Sam Darnold comes back. You're missing your two tackles. Your two best linemen are out. And then you lose Amari Cooper. Mm-hmm. Gallup drops.
That was
a big
huge pass. Jets can't cover anybody.
No, but that's it. There's a lot that went into this loss. But when you look at three in a row where you start so poorly and your offense is sputtering. Kellen Moore had three great games. Then the rumors start that people can read his hand signals and his demeanor and figure out exactly where he's going on the play sheet next. It's a very dangerous place to be. And for Jason Garrett, they haven't had an answer. And look, they almost had the miraculous comeback, but for a two-point conversion try where they were looking for the pass interference on Jason Witten. It's like, it's from 2 yards out. The guy can touch him. Sorry. That's the way this works, is that you had everything that could go wrong yesterday did. It'll be the one that they hang a star on if this continues to spiral, for certain. And they've got the Eagles, which is a fun, nationally televised game where all the warts are exposed for both these teams. And if you can't move the ball on the Eagles,
secondary is worse than the Jets.
I don't think any of those guys earned a grade yesterday. I think it's just did not compete.
I think the Eagles are actually talking to the Jets about Trumaine Johnson, which is how bad it is. Because Trumaine Johnson can't cover any. But you talk about a guy getting paid and disappearing. But this is
how
Zach bad
Brown
it is.
Gets to go back to his band, though.
Yeah, now Zach Brown gets waived. The Eagles were pissed.
Gotta have a fall guy,
now,
see?
This is now turned into the must-see game of the week already on Monday, because you have the Eagles coming off that disappointing blowout. The Cowboys lost. They've already said, we're turning the page. You have Jason Garrett under fire. You have Zach Brown, who said, you want Kirk Cousins to throw the football. He's the weakest part of the offense. He throws three touchdowns to Stephon Diggs. So Zach Brown gets cut by the Eagles today. You had Doug Peterson, head coach, basically guaranteeing a win against the Cowboys on Sunday, goes on the radio and says it today. Already this has become the must-see game of the week. But it's going to look back and say, what did it? No, it wasn't that good in that game. It was that Jets game, J-E-T-S. It was because you couldn't beat the Jets.
Plus 7.5, easy score.
Awesome.
Just like
day.
I told you.
That's okay, buddy, because I'm the happiest guy in the world.
Yeah, you get to run with it.
Find a way for the Jets to get to 10 wins now.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I hate to say I told you so.
That's your favorite phrase, which is why really. I jumped in and took it from you and took possession of it for the first part of our show tonight.
But you know what's lessened a lot in my timeline since the middle to end part of the summer? Try since the last 2 weeks of August, when all the crazy Browns drama started cropping up, right? Baker Mayfield taking on Duke Johnson situation, yelling at the receivers, all that drama, Freddie Kitchens saying, I'll fire anybody who
talks to
the media, all of these crazy things. People love to talk about this on Twitter, even though it's just stupid, but I'll do it because I don't care. The ratio. When you put something out in a tweet, look at the ratio of people who are upset. Yeah, well, that always happens because people who are pissed off are going to tweet, and if people agree, they're not going to do it. It's just dumb. But people like talk about ratio. You know what ratio has gone way down? The number of Browns fans who have cursed me out and told me I'm full of it after I told you what was going on with the Browns and what was going to happen. That has come down to a trickle.
There has something to be said for that.
Cold trickle down
cold
in my timeline.
Trickle.
You like that, huh?
You got a cold trickle in.
That is. It went from all the every day, Jason, you suck. You know what you're talking about. Stand behind Baker Mayfield. We stand behind Baker. We still all this stuff. And now look where they are. 2-4. Baker Mayfield has another horrendous game a day ago, and I get nothing from Browns fans in my timeline.
There's really not a whole lot you could say anymore.
And, well, what did Baker Mayfield have to say? Here he is trying to point the finger after the loss yesterday to drop them to 2-4.
Yeah, big picture mindset. Yeah, we still have everything in front of us, but right now, this one hurts. The refs are never an excuse, and I'll probably get fined for saying this, but it's pretty bad today. I mean, the guy's squared up with him, running at him. He's lowering his head into Jarvis. What's he supposed to do? Avoid him? I mean, this isn't bullfighting. I mean, I don't know. It takes me off.
Anytime you start with, I'm probably going to get fined, you're going to get fined. So that's going
to happen. Well, I mean, you've basically thrown a flag on yourself.
Yes, yes. Now, he's upset about some pass interference calls that did not go the Browns' way.
Sure.
Now, I agree, but you kind of have to join the club the past few weeks in the National Football League. If you say, hey, that pass interference, yeah, you know what? Look at the line right here. There's, you got to get the back of the line because there's, we've been waiting in line to figure out why this wasn't overturned as a pass interference penalty. So there's about 25 deep. You want to get back there, Baker, because that's really what it's
been. No, that's going to be like a town meeting.
Yes.
To try to figure that. Are you kidding me?
Like that's... in the movies when the famous guy shows the small town and the guys stand up and they go, but what's it going to mean for us here in Whoville? You know, it's something like that.
Oh, yeah, no, it's not even... not even close to being anything but. I mean, every coach has at least one representative, right? You've got him, his lawyer, and then their quarterback saying, well, here's what I saw on the play. What are you missing?
So this is where things were for the Browns a day ago. They were upset with the non-calls and pass interference. Freddie Kitchens was very upset. He said, oh, I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't want to say anything. They lose 32-28 to the Seattle Seahawks. Well, by the way, I told you Seattle was going to be this good. And you want to point fingers. You want to know why you're 2-4? Because your quarterback stinks. Baker Mayfield stinks. You can't make excuses for him. There's 35 quarterbacks in the NFL who have thrown enough passes to garner a rating, to garner a quarterback rating. Not that it's the end-all, be-all. But
people like to prop it up when their guy's got a big one, so why not go after the guy with a teeny weeny little passer rating?
You look at the top, Russell Wilson at the top, his passer rating is 124. It's insane. Then you have Mahomes, Kirk Cousins after the game yesterday. His rating, he's third overall. Then it's Deshaun Watson, Kyle Allen, who has played fantastic. Where is Baker Mayfield? Baker Mayfield and his 5 touchdowns and NFL league leading 11 interceptions, he is the 33rd out of 36 quarterbacks rated in the National Football League. He is rated 33rd. You know who he's just ahead of by 2 points? Luke Falk.
Yeah.
That's how bad
recently
Baker
released
Mayfield has
Luke
been.
Falk.
He's got a worse quarterback rating than Eli Manning, who was benched 3 weeks ago. He has been terrible.
Through 6 right? weeks, he has accounted for multiple touchdowns in a game once, and that was this past week. In the loss to Seattle, he did have that rushing touchdown. Otherwise, I think there's only one other team where you don't have multiple touchdowns thrown in a game. And you've assembled all that talent. I know they lost Njoku, and he probably wishes he had Duke Johnson back. But that's a whole other discussion.
But he's not accurate, right? That's the main. Watch the Browns. He's not accurate.
Sure.
He overthrows receivers. There's no consistency. There's no getting into a rhythm. And they're running the ball great. It's not like they're struggling running. No, they're running the ball great.
When they commit to Nick Chubb, they've run the ball well.
He
even
has
though
had
that
big games
offensive
this year.
Line is awful, they've been able to run the ball because Nick Chubb is that good.
It's Baker Mayfield is the worst quarterback in the NFL right now that you could say has a starting job. Because the only 3 guys lower are Luke Falk, who is not in the league anymore, and Ryan Fitzpatrick and Josh Rosen.
Well, I mean,
just these
they battle
it's
each
typical.
Other. Did you see Fitzmagic though?
Yeah.
Wasn't he glorious?
Almost.
Oh, he was glorious. But and then Mariota and Winston are probably losing their jobs, so you can't have them anymore. So he moves up 2 more spots by default.
That I mean, he is the worst starting quarterback in the NFL.
It's just abysmal.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
LeBron James has, boy, has he made a story in the past 35 minutes.
Who, me?
Now, if you've been following the story surrounding Houston Rockets general manager Daryl Morey, who put out a tweet a few days ago about China, in which he declared support of anti-government protesters in Hong Kong. It was all about the extradition of people to face trial back in China when they trying to escape, and this was what the protests were about. So he puts out support to Hong Kong, and since that happened, it has been a flurry of China being upset that Daryl Morey would tweet something like this out. They had all kinds of events canceled as the NBA has been playing games in China the past few days. There have been games that were initially canceled. There have been player appearances which have been canceled.
All sorts of things that were community events, right?
Yeah.
And schools and outreach programs.
There has been meetings with Adam Silver and Chinese leaders, and this has gone very poorly. And now the relationship between China and the NBA is at risk. And look, China is responsible for a huge portion of money that the NBA gets. Huge consumption. There's millions and millions and millions and nearly billions of dollars that are out there because of the NBA's popularity in China. So since this happened, there has been a couple of people who have mentioned support for the protesters in Hong Kong and human rights issues overall in China. Look, China's a communist state, and there are some freedoms that are denied to people. In fact, Twitter is banned in China. So you had to get a tweet from a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy to even tell you, hey, did you see what Daryl Morey tweeted? So now LeBron James has weighed in on this, and he has not made this any better. Now, before we get to LeBron James, I want to say this. I think I'm the only one who has seen this controversy and thought, is China just really overreacting? This is a tweet by a guy that nobody knows who he is, right? You don't know. He's the GM of the Rockets. It's not LeBron. It's not Dwayne Wade. It's not a highly publicized player. It's one guy tweeting one thing about, hey, hope for Hong Kong protesters. One guy tweeting one thing once, and China has absolutely gone nuts over this, threatening the relationship of the NBA with them. Suddenly, this is the worst thing ever. It's like, whoa, this is one person saying one thing, right? And this shows the difference between the two countries in freedom of speech and what is out there, but this is one guy saying this, and China has acted in a way in which it's like they just want to just cut off relationships and relations with the NBA, and the NBA is really trying to figure things out.
But he's a guy who represents the business side of the NBA. It's not a player, right? And even then, that you could see where that would become a thing, but you're talking about a GM of a team that's one of your most popular teams that was there when Yao Ming and the connection to Yao Ming and his power in basketball and in the country, that it extends to that. So he's a face of the Houston Rockets, which is
He's one guy. He's one guy that nobody knows. It was a tweet, and social media is banned in China. Don't forget. So there's that. It's one guy. This is something China is overreacting to for whatever gain that they are looking for.
Well, but it's always about renegotiating deals and getting better terms on your deal.
So,
there's a great economic power and flex to be happening. And that's exactly, I mean, I think everybody, like Daryl Morey didn't tweet that without knowing that there could be some ramifications.
I didn't see that as something that China was going to go crazy
about. But I don't think he tweets it without knowing the dollars and cents, right? Because he's in the meetings with the, and that's where we get into what LeBron James said tonight, is that he's a guy that's well aware of where money flows in the NBA.
I think that was something where he just decided to tweet that out. That's how people hit social media. I don't think this was something that was planned by him going, okay, I'm going to wait and I'm going to say, I know this money. I think it's because this happens. Everybody has access to social media and people tweet stuff, not thinking about how things are going to go. It happens all the time. And I think this was just him, I'm tweeting this out and oh boy, I don't think he thought for a second it would result in the firestorm it did, because he's one guy tweeting, it's my Twitter account, I'm going to tweet this out because I want to do it, and didn't think too much about it, and now China is overreacting to this. And now I can't believe they have the NBA running scared so much that the NBA can't even put out a statement about, hey, China's our part, but human rights is a very big deal.
Well, you saw what Adam Silver and the statements, they released multiple statements from the league office. Second one being, well, we won't tell any of our players or team officials or anybody, you know, not to comment. Well, for the most part, they haven't, right? They've punted. James Harden, I'm not getting into that, right? He was at a press event and someone tried to ask about it. Like, nope, basketball questions. Ask the basketball. Yeah. Like, no, that's not the pressing thing here.
Yeah, this is blown up way more than it should be. Like I said, it's one guy tweeting one thing, and it's not LeBron James. But whether this is for renegotiation, whatever, there is a reason why China has decided to turn this into shots fired across the bow. And, you know, China realizes they know their country does things differently. You know, they've got to know. Look, there's many things that go on in China that you would really go, oh boy, I didn't know about China. China just relaxed the one child rule a couple of years ago. You know, finding out people can have two kids.
Well, imbalance
in China,
men, women, yes.
You know, but there are many, you know, basic human rights issues. Just like we have our own problems here.
Plenty of issues.
We got plenty of problems here. Every country has their own problems. China's got a lot of them too. And this comes out. So now here's why China's doing this. I find it hard that the NBA can't just stand up and say, you know know what? We're the National Basketball Association. Yes, you're a big deal with us, but you know what? We want to just say, hey, we can support who we want to because we have our own human rights issues here. So we support anybody who is pushing for better human rights. I can't believe the NBA can't say that because that's the truth. Because they're so worried, and this is where you get to, this is the shining example of business over morality. This is, oh, it's a big business with China, which is why it's going to get solved in the end because there's too much money at stake. Just like we told you how Spider-Man was going to go back to Marvel because there's too much money at stake to trust Sony to put it. They'll put a bad movie out and replace Tom Holland with Andrew Garfield, but there's too much money at stake. But this is why people don't like, here's business over morality. Here's a human rights issue, and the NBA is deciding to not talk about it, and this is all the greatest hits people. People have stood up for human rights issues here in the United States that are saying, yeah, pass. Well, what do you mean pass? Yeah, pass. Yeah, pass. Yeah, pass. So that's the struggle. That's the struggle here. And now LeBron James, in the last few minutes, doesn't make it any better. He was asked before tonight's game against Golden State, which is at the end of the first quarter. LeBron James is not playing tonight.
None of the stars playing at all.
He was asked about Daryl Morey and his tweet about China. And LeBron James said, I don't want to get in a verbal feud with Daryl Morey, but I believe he wasn't educated on the situation at hand, and he spoke. And so many people could have been harmed, not only financially, physically, emotionally, spiritually. So be careful what we tweet and say and we do, even though, yes, we do have freedom of speech. But there can be a lot of negatives that come with that too. So LeBron is actually criticizing having freedom of speech. I mean, think about that. We can have freedom of speech, but there's negative that comes with that. There's a negative that comes with freedom of speech. It's like, who are you and what have you done with LeBron James? Really, there's a negative that comes with free speech. So to try to tamp this down, so I think he realized, oh boy, I probably shouldn't have said that. He went on social media right before the game. He wanted to, quote, clear up the confusion. So he said, I do not believe there was any consideration for the consequences and ramifications of the tweet, Daryl Morey's tweet. I'm not discussing the substance. Others can talk about that. My team in this league just went through a difficult week. I think people need to understand what a tweet or statement can do to others. And I believe nobody stopped and considered what would happen. Could have waited a week to send it. So now here's LeBron James, critical of Daryl Morey, sending a tweet because he wanted to help stand up for human rights in China. LeBron James has long promoted himself as the conscience of the league. He is someone who, when I want to speak, I want to make sure things go. I want to be the kingmaker. I want to make sure when something wrong is happening, I'm standing up and doing this. But now he's saying pass. All right, now he's saying pass on this. He looks really bad. He looks really, really bad. It's, wait, so you'll stand up for human rights when it's here, but something else that could affect business, and now you're not doing it?
Right.
Oh, well, my God, really?
Well, to say, you know, the emotionally and physically, well, physically nobody was going to harm NBA players. So that wasn't going to be the case. Yes, they took down some murals. The one outside the Nike store was still up, as last I saw, with the Chinese just do it, as best I did in my Google Translate on it. So that was still up. And I get it. Everybody stands to lose a lot of money, right? There were reports that up to 15% of the salary cap could go away if this became a prolonged battle and loss of income and revenues off of this. And certainly for the individual players, their shoe contracts are worth more than any of their contracts. As big as the NBA contracts are, go and look at those. Like that's where a lot of guys stand to lose cash. And that's where it comes off for LeBron James is as soon as you go to financially first, right? As soon as you go to the financials, you've shown your hand. And look, if I had tens of millions of dollars at stake, perhaps I'd go to the, like, you know, Michael Jordan Republicans buy sneakers too and just beg off. Here, Mike Ditka's, to go to another Chicago legend, here's your comment. No comment. Chew your gum a lot. Next question. If you're going to stay out of it, which is what he wanted to do a few days ago, he should have just said nothing. Because now you've made it look truly bad, and you're saying Daryl Morey's ignorant and misguided and misunderstands. Was like, no, I don't think he's quite as ignorant on all of the issues as you would like to believe.
LeBron James just looks awful six different ways on this. It's amazing. Negatives with freedom of speech. Insulting Daryl Morey, who was standing up for human rights. And oh, by the way, you stood up for human rights, but now there's business, there's money involved, and now I'm not going to say anything. And instead of just not saying anything, I say the worst thing possible.
No, I mean, freedom of speech, just watch what you say, is the old Ice-T album forever. I mean, and there are times where you say things that can get you in trouble, right? You're free to say it, but there are ramifications. In this case, yeah, there's potentially some dollars at stake, but when we get to the crux of the argument, just saying, hey, he should shut his mouth is not an acceptable answer.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Joining us now on the hotline, CBS Sports NFL insider Jason Lockenfora. Jay, so what'd you think about the officiating in this one tonight?
I feel like Mr. Fuji just threw salt in my eyes. What the hell was that?
And then he tripped you with his cane as you ran by.
Oh, my God. I mean, the two calls on Flowers, the missed PI, which I don't blame Patricia for not challenging
him,
because nobody wins on challenge, and he definitely wasn't winning on that one tonight. The way this, you know what I mean, the way this tide was going, the call on the defensive back, I think it was Wilson trying to make a play on the ball, and that's 15 yards. Green Bay got outclassed at home, and I feel bad for the Lions. I'll tell you what, that 18-point thing happened against the Cardinals week one, and I'll blame them for that. But they beat the snot out of the Chiefs and had a 101-yard fumble return go the other way. That was highly controversial in itself and how that ruling went down. And then to lose tonight, I mean, should they have scored more points in the red zone and could they have put this game away in the first half? Sure, but that there's no defense for the way these calls went and how – I feel bad for those guys. I think they're a viable team in the NFC, and I think they are a team that very easily could be in contention for that division title come late December, except for, you know, some things that are out of their control. And these decisions tonight, I mean, twice Trey Flowers. That, I mean, are you kidding me? Like, it does leave you a little dumbfounded at times. I can't. It shouldn't happen, man. The league should be better than this. It just should.
You know, the thing is I agree with you. I get the no pass interference because, look, they're just not being overturned because the NFL clearly doesn't like the rule. And clearly, you know, we put it in for a year to keep people happy. And if we don't overturn plays, we don't need it for another year from now. So I don't think there's any coincidence to that being the fact, especially when you look at some of these plays that aren't being overturned when it's clear pass interference. So that part I get. The rest of it is what really I go, you know, yeah, we should be better than that.
Yeah, I honestly, well, I'm torn on this. Part of me feels like Belichick's got the right idea that everything should be reviewable all the time, but you only have, you know, a limited number of challenges, and you go for it when you go for it and let the smartest team win. But the corollary to that has to be that Big Brother in New York is all over it. You know what I mean? And that's the part where I'd have a hard time positing that argument right now that Big Brother in official command, even when there's only one game in the whole freaking league being played, you know what I mean, is on top of it. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I reported a few weeks ago that by the start of next season, the NFL will no longer have to rely on the production trucks at a stadium for reviews. In other words, they won't have to get feeds sent to them from the truck that the TV broadcast partner has parked in the parking lot, you know, as part of the satellite link up to how we watch these games over the air, that they will get everything simultaneously in real time in their, you know, makeshift studios at Park Avenue. But they need to have the right eyeballs watching this stuff so they know what to do with it. You know what I mean? It's like the difference from going from driving a Jeep to driving a Ferrari. And, like, I don't know that they have enough people right there, like, right now, who know how to drive a Jeep, much less enough who know how to drive a Ferrari.
All right, how long does Jason Garrett get to keep his job? Jerry Jones doesn't sound as excited anymore about him.
I think he's – look, I mean, if they lose six straight or something like that, you know, if they fall off a cliff.
But it's the Jets, Jason. It's the Jets.
What's that?
It's the Jets.
No, I'm just telling you, he's given this guy a decade. He's not measuring him, you know, on a sand dial now. You know, he's not flipping over the hourglass and watching, you know, what was that, Days of Our Lives?
Oh, nicely done.
Yeah, yeah. So the guy's got this year. He didn't give him an extension. I mean, could you make Rod Marinelli the head, the interim, and could you do some different things? I guess you could, but, like, no, he thinks they're a Super Bowl-winning team this year. He doesn't want to upset – or a Super Bowl-caliber team. He doesn't want to upset the apple cart. And I don't think Jerry has any intention of making a coaching change anytime soon. But I also think they ain't close to being who he thinks they are. And I think their true colors will show more weeks than not. And they're somewhere between 7-9 and 9-7. And Jason Garrett's done getting paid by the Dallas Cowboys once we hit 2020. And I think Jerry's all in on Lincoln Riley.
And I also have the Jets at winning 9 in a row now, so I have them coming down to the final week against Buffalo for a playoff spot.
Well, I was going to say, but then what about the 3 games they win in January?
Why not?
Why stop at 9?
No, you're right. Hey, let me tweet that out. Jason Lockenfora, Jets
no,
will
no,
win
not,
Super Bowl.
No, I'm not advocating that.
No. You said it. I can do it. I can fit. Look, it's social media. I can say whatever I want.
I'm just asking the hypothetical question. I'm surprised you stopped at 9, I guess, is really what I'm saying.
Well, he had him buried this week.
You should
Dallas.
Have him at least in the championship game. I mean, look around the AFC. The Chiefs are in trouble. The Chargers can't beat freaking Duck Hevlin, Devlin, Hodges, Duck Hodges. They get wiped out by him in the first half. All of a sudden, Denver's back in the fray, right? Oakland might be the team to beat in the AFC West. The AFC North is, I don't know, 8-8 probably wins that. Like, I don't know. We shouldn't put, you know, a dagger through the throat of the Jets just yet.
From Jason Lockenfora.
But they're also not going to the playoffs. I just want to be clear.
Hang on. AFC is wide open. Why not the Jets in the AFC championship?
Dot, dot, dot. And then ellipses. But the Jets aren't going to the playoffs.
All right. So from the Jets to the Browns, who now kind of need to see reality, a 2-4, a bye, and then looking at a game against the Patriots. They wanted to blame the referees after the game yesterday. Clearly, yes. Pass interference is something that is not being called. You got to get in the back of a really long line to complain about that. But,
yeah.
You know, I mean, quite honestly, Baker Mayfield has been the worst starting quarterback in the NFL this season. I mean, Jason, he's barely rated
Jameis
higher.
Jameis Winston's not going to be a starter anymore, so he doesn't count.
He's rated higher than Luke Falk. I mean, that's really – I mean, he leads the league in interceptions. At some point, you got to say, hey, the quarterback's got to give us better play.
Yeah, dude, he hasn't been worse than Jameis Winston. You know what I mean? Off the top of my head. He hasn't been worse than Marcus Mariota. Like, he's at least actually asked to win games. You know, there's a lot of guys who are asked, like, please just don't bleep it up too badly and we can win despite you. Dude, if you think Mitch Trubisky's a better quarterback than – you don't really think Mitch Trubisky's a better quarterback than Baker Mayfield, do you?
No, but right now, Baker Mayfield is the worst starting quarterback
in the
NFL.
Baker Mayfield?
No, but right now, he's the worst. Right now, Baker Mayfield is playing so poorly. Jeez, he's overthrowing guys. He can't get in a rhythm on offense.
He's not worth it. I don't think he's playing. I bet I could name 6 guys starting every week at least who he's not worse than. Yes, he's got the most turnovers in the league, but I think if you go back and look at each turnover, I don't know that they're all on him. And I'm not saying he's good. I'm just saying I don't think he's been the worst. Cleveland has issues in the coaching department. Cleveland has issues in the game management department. Cleveland has big issues in the offensive line department. And Baker has not been good. I just don't think he's been – like, I don't even know that he's been worse than Jared Goff. Honestly, like, I don't know. Like,
yeah, Jared Goff's been pretty awful. That was the next question.
He threw for 78 yards yesterday. That's 78 more than I threw for.
Patrick Mahomes had 116 on the first drive.
That's 250 less than Sam Darnold had. I mean, let's call it the way you see it.
And you know what? He hasn't been worse than Joe Flacco either. Like, I'm telling you, I know I can come up with 6 guys who, if you're watching film, you would say that dude's not better than Baker Mayfield.
Joe Flacco's elite.
Okay.
I tried.
Hey, Jay, lastly, we saw this report earlier today that Cam Newton is going to come back to practice after the Panthers' bye week. What happens then? I mean, it's not
funny,
like,
because I reported that Sunday morning, but apparently, somebody else reported the same thing. So I guess that's a scoop. No, look, I'll just tell you what I reported, which is that Cam's going to practice, but he probably needs more. Like, if you really assess what an NFL team does, they practice on most teams, and the Panthers specifically, have like an actual practice on Wednesday and Thursday, and then Friday's a walkthrough, and then Saturday is, you know, basically team meetings and that stuff. So it's really a two-day work week, what it comes down to. And those 2 days is not going to be enough for them to know exactly where that foot is. So I doubt he plays the week after the bye. And then they have a decision to make after that. And we'll, you know what I mean? We'll see. We'll see how Kyle Allen plays in week 8. And we'll see how Cam performs in practice and how many reps he gets and how quickly they ramp him up. And I'm telling you, he's not going to be ramped up overnight. But I think Cam goes back in. The question will become, like, sort of how like, if Cam doesn't look right, 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, at what point, you know what I mean, do they go back if they have to? And how big is that, sort of middle ground for Cam? And I'd be lying if I said I knew that right now.
You can follow him on Twitter, at Jason Lockenfora. That's at Jason Lockenfora. CBS Sports, NFL Insider Extraordinaire, had the scoop on Sunday about Cam Newton. Jay, as always, buddy, appreciate it, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
My pleasure, man. Talk to you guys next Monday. Thank you. Yeah.